The shiur really that I'm giving today is not so much a not so much concerned with the organization of the halachic material like a regular shiur. What I really would like to do is to try to convey to you some ideas concerning the Maisa Tfila, insofar as Yom HaDin is concerned. Because the essence of the Kedusha Ziyoma, or the greatest part of the Kedusha Ziyoma, is spent in Tfila. And obviously the mitzvah of Tfila over here takes on a special importance. Even according to the Rambam, that holds that it's a mitzvah seles pal b'chol yom. But over here, the tefillah is there's another machayev for the tefillah over here. The machayev of the tefillah is the kedushas ayom. The person's not mispal on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just, even according to the Ramban, who maintains that tefillah is mirabanan, so he wouldn't violate a deraisa. But insofar as the kedushas ayom is concerned, he would be lacking in a deraisa. Because the essence of the kedushas ayom is expressed through the medium of tefillah. Through the medium of tefillah. As a matter of fact, Rashi in our shiur, we took it up. Rashi on the halacha of Mikra Kodesh. On the halacha of Mikra Kodesh, we say in the Tfilos Vatid Lanshon can be Ava Moadim L'Simcha, Chag Nizman L'Sason Es Yom, Chag Amatzah be Ava Mikra Kodesh, or whatever Chag it is. Of course, Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Ma'adlam Simcha Chag Nizman L'Sason. It's a Machlokas Rosh Hashanah. That's a different question, a question of whether there's two halachas of Simcha. One halach of Simcha is, insofar as the Maisa Mitzvah, the structure of the Kedusha Zayom, that's one concept of Simcha. That person must eat Basar, Shayasi Yayin, he should be Sameach, V'tov Lev. That's a part of the structure of the Kedusha Zayom. Another halach of Simcha is the Kiyum, the ultimate objective of the day. That's not just the Maisa HaMitzvah of Simcha, but it's actually an expression of the Kiyum of the whole Kedusha Sayom. It's a Smachtam Lefnei Hashem Lekechem. That's the Lefnei Hashem is expressed through a certain state, a state of Simcha. That's a different din of Simcha, different halacha of Simcha. One halacha of Simcha is like you have Onik Shabbos, you have Onyanta, you have Onik Gosa, you have Onik, you have Simcha. So that's insofar as the Maisa of the Kedusha Sayom is concerned. But that you have in Rosh Hashanah too. But the problem with Rosh Hashanah is that the Lifnei Hashem of Rosh Hashanah is not expressed through Simcha, Smachim Lifnei Hashem Lekechem, but it's expressed in terms of Zikaron. That it's a day in which there's a Yom HaDin. It's a day of a Yom HaDin. But at any rate, Mikra, and Rashi says Mikra Kodesh. So Rashi says, what does Mikra Kodesh mean? So Rashi says in Shruas, Tafshid Gimel, Rashi mentions that the Gemara speaks about Yom Kippur. The Gemara says if a person violated Yom Kippur in all its, in every shape, form, and manner. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says he did three things. He ate on Yom Kippur. He did Malacha on Yom Kippur. Okay? And one more thing the Gemara says. Lo Koro Mikra Kodesh. He didn't call Yom Kippur Mikra Kodesh. Well, what does it mean? So Rashi explains that what it means is Lo Kiblo Alav Bibrachoso. He didn't say Brachot Hashem Mekadosh Yourself Yom Kippur. So you see that the halacha is, and Taisa Sakasha, how could this be? Tefillah is not Midaraisa. But Rashi, the answer to Rashi obviously is that it's true that Tefillah is not Midaraisa. That means that the Chiyuv Tefillah Rashi holds in Brachas is not Midaraisa. But Rashi holds like the Ramban. But nevertheless, insofar as the formulation of the Kedusha Zayom, since Tefillah, as the Rav mentioned, the Chefetz Shel Tefillah, the entity of Tefillah is certainly Midaraisa. Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalel. That entity is necessary as a medium to bring about the Kedusha Zayom of every Yom Tov. On Rosh Hashanah especially, the Kedusha Zayom, that's what Mikra Kodesh means. That's what Mikra Kodesh means. Mikra Kodesh going to Rashi means Tefillah. So therefore, it's important that we understand, especially on Rosh Hashanah, where there is not simply a kiyum of Kedusha Zayom, but the very essence of the Lefnei Hashem it's not simply a Maisa HaMitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. In every Yontif, it's a Maisa HaMitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. Over here, Tefillah is more than a Maisa HaMitzvah of Mikra Kodesh. It's actually the Kiyum of the Lifnei Hashem. See, every Yontif is real Lifnei Hashem. That's why you have the three regalim, of course, it's Lifnei Hashem. But the three regalim, the Lifnei Hashem, is L'smoach Lifnei Hashem. That's the expression. That's why the Migdosh in Sukkot, there was a Simcha Yisera, the Rambam mentions. The Lifnei Hashem was expressed by the Simcha. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the only two other Yom Tovim that we have in the Torah. They're not over there. It's not the Lifnei Hashem is not expressed for Simcha. That's why I don't say Hallel. So it's expressed on the contrary through a recognition of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom Adin Zikaron Yilchem Zikaron Lifnei Hashem Lakechem. So therefore the very expression of the very essence of the Kedusha is a Yom. The Lifnei Hashem is expressed in Tefillah. So what I'm saying is that in Rosh Hashanah is a double Kiyum of Tefillah, not simply the Kiyum that Rashi mentions of Mikra Kodesh, even if I should say like Tesis, different shot in Mikra Kodesh. But insofar as Rosh Hashanah is concerned, the whole Lifnei Hashem is expressed in through the medium of Tefillah. So that's why it's important. Tefillah has a special importance on Rosh Hashanah, a special place, a very special place, more than Kol HaShanah Kula, because of the fact that the whole Kedushas Hayom takes place through this activity of Tefillah. Through this activity of Tefillah. It's analogous to Simcha, just like it would be analogous to Simcha. Just like by Simcha you have two forms of Simcha. You have one Simcha which is necessary in order to have the basic structure of the Kedushas Hayom, but another Simcha is the Kiyum, the fulfillment of Simcha. The Kiyum Hayom takes place through Simcha. Over here the Kiyum Hayom takes place through the medium of Tefillah. So it's extremely important that we understand what the Tefillah is, and in general that we have an understanding of Tefillah. And that's really what I would like to do today, is just to go through some ideas, the basic principles with regard to Tefillah. Because we find that people have a difficult time being mispallel. Difficult time being mispallel. Tefillah is a mitzvah that presents a big problem. It presents a problem in the practical sense. And I think the problem is really because people can't find their bearings insofar as Tefillah is concerned. And so you find that, Yadis worked very hard in trying to explain Tefillah and to give people a different idea of Tefillah, different idea of Tefillah altogether. And if a person is not in line with that idea of Tefillah, his whole Tefillah really is almost worthless. I mean, because the point is, in Yadis is the Daso MS, like the Rambam says, it's the true religion, and it's the only religion which relates to the Borei Olam, God, and therefore, insofar as Tefillah is concerned, it has a very unique way of expressing it, and it's extremely important for us that we have an approach, an understanding, the proper approach to Tefillah. Otherwise, the Tefillah have very little value. Very little value. There's a pasuk, actually, in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, which the Gemara quotes in Shabbos. The Gemara is talking about a person that's Meser Oznei Midivrei Torah. The Gemara says, if a person was in the middle of a svara, while he was learning the story of the Gemara, and he had a daven mincha, so he decided daven mincha instead. He interrupted learning, so the other amora that was there said to him, "Meiser," quoted a pasuk from Mishlei. It says, "Meiser oznei mishmoa Torah gam tefila asa toeva." So the person that turns his ear away from Torah, even his tefila is a toeva. So he said that was a reference to this person, because this person wasn't involved in listening to an idea, to a concept, and he turned away because he didn't want to miss mincha. But that pshat in the pasuk that the Gemara is giving is a reference. It's a reference. But that's not the plain shot in the pasuk. See, what is the plain shot in the pasuk? The plain shot in the pasuk is very interesting. The Gemara a lot of times uses the pasuk because the pasuk means something basically, but it split this off it intimates various different ideas. But there's a main idea. What's the main idea in the pasuk? See? Meiser Osna Mishmaya Torah doesn't mean, the pasuk doesn't mean a person in that case that the Gemara is talking about, where a person was involved in Talmud Torah and he's talking. That's not, the Gemara is just showing it to you because it has the same idea. You see? But what's the essential pasuk? What's the essential meaning of the pasuk? See? Essential meaning of the pasuk is Meiser Osna Mishmaya Torah, Gam Tfilas HaTorah. The essential meaning of the pasuk is plain and straight. It means if a person turns his ears away from hearing Torah, from hearing the ideas of the Torah, so his tefillah is a toeva. Meaning to say that if a person doesn't learn Torah and doesn't understand, has no understanding, then his tefillah really has no value. As a matter of fact, the pasuk goes so far as to say it's an abomination. It's an abomination. And the Ralbag actually says this shot. The Ralbag says this shot. He says, like Ralbag says, he says, not enough that his actions will be abominable. Why? Because he lost his seichel, his knowledge, to know how to act properly. Even his tefillah, which he thinks will be an avoda to God, he says, he misuevas. It's abominable. Why? Ki mipnei suro melamidas haTorah, this naig bidrachel, since he turned away from the study of Torah and living according to its ways, which basically is one. I mean, if a person doesn't study Torah, he's not living according to his ways. He can't split the dough. He says, "Lo yitochen shetiyah kavanaso baruya." It's impossible that his kavana, his in tefillah, should be the proper kavana. It's a pasuk. I mean, the Rabbag, I'm just quoting the Rabbag, but really, you don't need the Rabbag. That's a shot in the pasuk. Flame shot. Nobody argues on. So you see, the Yadis really has a different idea of tefillah. Means even though this person feels that his tefillah is an avodah Hashem Yisbarach, why does he feel it's an avodah? Because he feels that way. He feels very secure. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's mispalel, says tefillah. It means that the person is mispalel. He's not a phony. He really pours out his heart to God, and he asks God for his needs. And he's mechavein. I mean, it's not supposing a person not mechavein is nothing. It means a person is mechavein kilchoso, and he davens with all the kavanas that all the intentions that he has. That he can possibly emote. Nevertheless, what does the pasuk say? Gam tefillaso toeva. Toeva doesn't mean it's just nothing. It means it's abomination. You see. What is it? How is it possible? You see, therefore, the yadus from the pasuk. We'll elaborate on a little more, but you see from the pasuk clearly that without the proper ideas, without Torah, without knowledge, without the proper ideas, a person's tefillah is, insofar as God is concerned, worthless. It's worthless. Worse than worthless, it's abomination. Abomination means you'd be better off if it wasn't misfollowed. So that's why I say it's extremely important that before Yom HaDin, that we review in our minds some concepts, some ideas of tefillah. So that the tefillah, the act of tefillah that we misfollow, has meaning and has value. Otherwise, if it's without Torah, then it's toeva. Then it's nothing. Worse. And, of course, Yadus being the true religion, reaches a person in a totally different way. It reaches a person in a different way because what it does is it reaches a different part of the personality. It reaches the part of the personality, not simply the emotional part of the personality. Not simply the emotional part. And not simply the intellectual part either. but it reaches the core of a person where both are unified, where both are unified, where the rational and the emotional are unified. So a person is just intellectual, it means he can study a taisvus, but it has nothing to do with his personal life. That's not a perfection of Pantheatus. It has to be the essence of man, his soul, his essence. It reaches the soul of man, the neshama. But the soul represents that part which is influenced by both sources, by the emotions and by the intelligence. And Yadus reaches the part that is that part of man, not simply the emotional, but the part of man which has with it the rational. That's all the mitzvahs of Torah. That's why every mitzvah has a formula and a complication. It's all Chachmas Hashem. Without Chachma, everything is worthless. Now, the in doing a mitzvah, a person can understand simply what it is, how it is. But in tefillah, it's a little more difficult, because in tefillah, you're relating directly. And it's you're bordering very strongly on an emotional type of activity. And it's much more difficult for a person in that area to direct himself properly. It's easier for a person to get lost, to go off the track in that area. And we find that many people have difficulties in tefillahs because of that. Especially you find, even mentioned in the Rishonim, that some people, as they gain knowledge, especially philosophical knowledge, they have a difficulty in tefillah. And we spoke about this several times, because the person can't revise, he can't catch up, his emotions can't catch up to his intellect. And he sees that his previous way of being mispalel was a primitive way, was nonsensical. And he can't change. To him, that's the only concept of tefillah. He can't educate himself as far as tefillah is concerned. So he can't do an activity which makes sense in terms of his advanced framework. And then he loses the whole concept of tefillah, the whole idea of tefillah. That's why we have to study the tefillahs. We have to study the tefillahs in order to understand them. Yeah. Actually, Yadus is the only religion that says that tefillah is tied with knowledge. Tied with knowledge, like the Rambam says. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Ches, mitzvah loritz the beis haknesses. Mitzvah to run to shul. Why? Shenemar v'neido nirdefo l'das es Hashem. So what does that mean? That means to say, neido nirdefo l'das Hashem. We should run to have knowledge of God. So you see the Beis HaKnesses, the Makom Tefillah represents knowledge of God. It means a person davens properly. It means that he's advancing insofar as his knowledge of God is concerned. It's a Kiyum and Chachma. The only one that ever made such a proposal to say that Tefillah is a Kiyum and Das Hashem. It's Yadus. It's a possible. It's possible. That's why really the term prayer is an unfortunate term. Shouldn't even use the term prayer insofar as our tefillahs are concerned. Because prayer means, in the translation of prayer, the meaning of prayer is something which is completely alien, really, to Yadus. It's a totally different idea. It's a primitive notion. It's nothing to do with the concept of tefillah and Yadus. I'd like to talk about is a little bit about the... in specific about the Tfilas Yom. See, the first thing I like to talk about is a Lein L'Shabeach. Is a Lein L'Shabeach. Because really in Musaf, it's important to study the Marza, because you see the way the Marza is structured. Every tefillah is so beautifully structured. Every one, I mean, and I want to show you what I mean by when I say it's beautifully structured. And maybe I mentioned some of these things before, I don't remember exactly, but I think it's worthwhile going over it, because it's we have to prepare for Yom HaDin. I mean, a person has to prepare for Yom HaDin, and Yom HaDin is a time when a person's emotions must be in line with his intellect. But it means you're dealing with the entire self, the entire entity of self. So we have to, I think it is a good idea to go through, I mean, and prepare ourselves for the Yom HaDin. I mean, Chazal talk about prayer. The whole concept of El means that there's a preparation for Yom HaDin. That's the concept of Chedesh El, it's the concept of Slichas. So you see that the Yom HaDin requires preparation. Insofar as the tefillahs are concerned, the tefillahs are Musaf, and of course the main tefillah of the day is Malchus, Sephardus, and Shefus. That's the main tefillah of the day. And there's a machlokes between the Ramban and the Balamor whether Malchus, Sephardus, and Shefus were, according to Balamor, Malchus, Sephardus, and Shefus was in every single tefillah. Why? Because according to the Balamor, very simply, Malchus, Sephardus, and Shefus is what the Kedushas Hayom is all about. Malchus, I mean, that's the Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin requires Malchus. And it's interesting that in Yom HaDin, we in our tefillahs are overcome in Yom HaDin with Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so much, we're not concerned, the concern isn't so much for ourselves, for our personal gain. But most of the tefillahs are really in abstract with regard to Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mispal that there should be a general acceptance of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a tikkun ha'olam in general. That's the tefillah. And the self really, the individual is really lost in terms of the tefillahs in general. But the tefillah really is, for instance, Vofa Badar Ga'onu Zecha. What's Badar Ga'onu Zecha? It means to say that a person should have a desire to see the world and its that it should be in a total state of harmony, which is Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a tefillah where a person is inspired it's a desire for the total harmonious state. You see, it's an abstract tefillah. It's more of a philosophical type of tefillah. And all the tefillahs are really that way. But the Olein L'Shabeach is interesting. Now, the Olein L'Shabeach is, of course, if you take a look at Olein L'Shabeach is an introduction to the Malchus, Achronos, and Shefres. All right? Everything that was entered in the tefillahs was entered very carefully. I mean, from the main tefillahs that the Anshei Knesset Gadolim were Mesakein to the piyutim also. Every piyut, the way it was entered, was planned very carefully. Most people don't realize it because they just don't study the piyutim. But before they entered a piyut, they were very sure, very careful to make sure that it was appropriate, it was able to be entered according to the halacha. You see, the Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros itself, what is Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros? As you know, it's the three central brachas that we say in Tefillas HaMosafim. But the three central brachas, what do they consist of? So Malchus is one theme, and I mentioned once before, but just to repeat myself, what is the themes of Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros? Malchus represents God's omnipotence, and Achronos represents God's omniscience, and Shofros represents the revelation, Gilu Shechina, those three principles of Yadus. Tefillah is not just an outpouring, it's a philosophical ideas that are going on here. Of course, it's not simply God's omnipotence and his omniscience. It's his omnipotence vis-a-vis man and his omniscience vis-a-vis man. So it's a philosophical principle, but applied to man. Because tefillah has the personal as well. But it's not just the personal, it's a philosophical principle. Now if you take a look, what's the formula for the Malchus, for the Zephronos, for the Shofros? It's Malchus is Psukim. Psukim of the Torah, so you have to have three Psukim from the Torah, which demonstrate Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the three psukim from the Ksuvim, from Tehillim, and three psukim from the Vayim, right? That's the way it is. I one time went through, you know, the basic formula the Rav explained, and you could see it's clear. From the tefillah, every tefillah has, first you have the psukim, right? First you have the theme. Then you have the theme, you have the psukim, and then you have the tefillah. Okay, everyone. Okay, Nekavlo Hashem Lekamaris Loris Meiris Veres Hazecha is the theme. Then you have the Psukim, Kakos Vesar Hazecha. Psukim from the Torah, then you have the Psukim from the Tehillim, then you have the Psukim from the Nevi'im, Vavadei Avedachamim. Then the last one, Elokim Melocha Kol Olam Kulu Bechvado. You know, say, Bechvadach Lekamaris Kolos Bikarecha. That's the tefillah. Alright? As I tell you, Rav says, you shouldn't be masik over there. Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekan Hashem Achad. Because the last one, it's 3, 3, and 3, and the last one is is your Mashlim and Shel Torah. But if you take a look in the other ones where you're Mashlim, for instance, the second theme, which is Zichronos, God's omniscience. So you have Ata Zocher, which is the basic idea, the theme. Then you have the Psukim from the Torah, Psukim from the Tehillim, right? You see, the Psukim from the Tehillim. And the Psukim from the Nevi'im. And then you have Lekan Kan Zachron, this is the current Tel Bifanecha. Alright? And then you have the last Pasuk again. Ka'omor, Zachat Lam Bris Rishonim, Shatzei Sassam Eretz Yisrael, Lenei Agoyim, Kizor, and then you say Kizor, and Shkaras, what it's done, Zachar Bris. Okay? Zachar Bris. Then you have Atan Aglesa, you have the theme again, you have the same thing. And you have the Pasuk, Ka'omor, V'yom Smachaskam, V'mo'adechem. So the last pasuk, when you mash them in the Shel Torah, the last pasuk is always incorporated in the third part of the tefillah, which is tefillah. You have the theme, you have the psukim, and you have the tefillah. All right. So, but except in the only case they couldn't do it was in Malchus. Why couldn't they do it in Malchus? That's what the Rav said. Because in Malchus they had already this bracha malach, so they couldn't change the bracha. So therefore, what they did was they put it right before. So there's not supposed to be any hefsik between Shema Yisrael and Malach, because it's all the last pasuk is supposed to be tied together with the tefillah. So it was 3, 3, and 3, and then the last pasuk tied together with tefillah. That's the formula. That's the formulation. That's the way it's formulated. But what do you see from this formulation? What do you see in this formulation? And the Gemara says that a person should say 3 from each. But b'di'eved, if he just said b'di'eved, if he just said v'saras l'kas v'leim b'az yotzer. Alright? So why all these psukim? Why all the psukim? What's the answer? Why do you have all these psukim, really? Why do you have to have these psukim? I think the reason is as follows. The reason is clear. The reason is, if you take a look, there's one part of our tefillah that we have is really expressed in the one of the major things in tefillah. A few things that we have in tefillah. Well, one of the major things that we have is the introduction to tefillah. In the introduction to tefillah, the primary concern that we have is how is it possible for us to approach God? That's the problem. That's the problem. And the she'elas, the tefillah that you mispalal reflects that idea. For instance, you take a look at the shachris. You see the tefillah in shachris right after Hashem Sos HaTevil. You start with avos, right? Then you say Yoresi, after myself, Chaman Vonim. Yoresi, b'fsosi siach lahashchil. I was filled with fear when I have to express my words. Kumi lachalos pnei noro v'dochil. Katonti mas lachain aski. Tvuno chasati v'eichochil. Much of the tefillah is occupied with the idea that the person's mispal reflects upon himself and realizes that he isn't roy to be misbalal, that he isn't capable of being misbalal, that from his standpoint of his own understanding of himself, he really should not be able to be misbalal. You see, the only reason he can't be misbalal is because God actually enjoined him to be misbalal. But when God enjoined us to be misbalal, he didn't just tell us to be misbalal. We have to misbalal in a certain way. If you take a look before your racy, what do you have? Misod chachomim munevonim umilemed das mevinim. See, what does it mean? Misod chachom. Every tefillah has misod chachom munevonim umilemed das mevinim. What is the misod? What is the misod? The misod means that's the matir of tefillah. the matter of tefillah is the only way we can be mispalel is if we partake of the chachma of the Balei HaMasara. Without the chachma of the Balei HaMasara, it's nonsensical for us even to try to be mispalel. It's crazy. It just means the person is just going to part his emotions, nonsensical emotions. It's worthless. It's gam tefillah satoeva. That's what the pasuk says. You see. So how are we mispalel? When we approach God, with what do we approach God? With what right do we approach God? The answer is, it's true, God told us to misfollow, but it doesn't just mean God said misfollow, now we can be fools. It means only through the medium of the Masorah, the Balei HaMasorah. That's why this Yoresi Biftosi follows immediately, is an extension of the Misod. See, it's an extension of the Misod. So you see, strangely enough, so much of our tefillah is preoccupied with how we could be mispalel. I mean, people don't even understand it, but that takes up a good part of the tefillah, But that's important because tefillah, the definition of tefillah is one thing, is omed lifnei Hashem. That's what Reb Chaim established from the Rambam. And it's not just a halachic principle, it's a profound philosophical concept. It means that the whole idea of tefillah essentially is the omid lefnei Hashem. So an omid lefnei Hashem, the mere reflection upon what our approach, how we can approach God is a key in omid lefnei Hashem. So part of the omid lefnei Hashem is a preoccupation with the very concept of how we could be an omid lefnei Hashem and what the proper way to be an omid lefnei Hashem is. And to sort out our thoughts and our ideas so that the Amid Lefnei Hashem makes sense and it reaches the part of us which is Adam. Otherwise it has no value. See? So that's why the Tefillah starts off with Misoch HaChom HaNevonim. And Yoresi Biftosi is an extension from Rav Elazar Kalir of that concept.
That God, without God opening my mouth, I couldn't.
Otherwise,
I have to get it from God.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Hashem says tiftach. That's true. That's right. Yeah, I mean, there's different points that we mentioned, but this idea of the misod is the idea of the Balei HaMasorah and through the Balei HaMasorah. Just 1 second.
Even during the.
Through the Balei HaMasorah, through the Chachmas HaTorah. See? You see, if you take a look, for instance, in Shachris further, before Melech Meimetz Chaim Esmi Yeshua, Tala Zu Kechofetz Lahasio, Shua Aroch Limdom Lahoyo. See? This is the right in Shachris, a little further, right after the Atagibar, right after Mechalkel Chaim. Okay? So, Talazu, I'm reading the translation of Mate Levi. It says, Talazu, Kechofetz Lahasil. What does it mean? Kashe Chofetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Refuah Li'Ivelas Yisrael HaNikriyam Amzu. God wanted to help us to improve our state, to give us a refuah for our illness. Shua Aroch Limdom Lahoil. What does it mean? Limdom HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'aroch Lefonav Shua Utfila Lahoel Lahem. See? Now, Omahi further. Ron Harare Kedem HaMoyo. What does that mean? He says, Omahi Atfila Shalimdom. What is the tefillah that God taught him? Ron Harare Kedem LaHamoyo. What does it mean? Lachanein Lefonav Tfilos Shechokaku Ovos Shenikru Harare Kedem. You see? So how did God teach us to be mispalel? He taught us through the Balei HaMasorah, through the tefillah of the Avos. After we have to realize, that's a very part of tefillah, that without the chachma of the Balei HaMasorah of the Avos, is nothing. Tefillah is worthless. You see, I'm trying to show you is that the Paitanim it's unfortunate. What is criminal is really that there are such the ideas, there is such beauty in the formulation of the tefillahs, but because people can't raise themselves to a higher level, because they're so used to the idea of prayer, you see, rather than tefillah, Unfortunately, they miss the whole idea. This is all a system of chachma here in Tefillah. It's a beautiful system of chachma. A person can have, the Yom HaDin could have such meaning if a person understands and thinks into the Tefillahs. He should abandon his old ideas of what Tefillah is. The old idea is very destructive, you see. Now, if you take a look at the Malchus, Zechornos, and Shofar, so what does Chazal say? You have 10 psukkim in each, right? 10 psukkim in each. So that's L'chatchilis, supposed to have 10 psukkim. Why do you have all these psukkim? Why all these psukkim? What's the answer? The answer is the psukkim themselves. What do the psukkim tell us? The psukkim tell us like this. You want to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can't do it. You can't do it. There's only one way you can do it. What is the way? Through Torah. Through Torah. Through Torah. But a person, in tefillah, a person wants to express himself, and it means more. The expression is an expression of his emotional makeup as well. I mean, he wants to direct his emotions. Tefillah is perfection. Perfection means the total man. So in expressing his emotions, a person wants to express himself. So it's not a matter of saying it once. He wants to say it many times. A person wants to be involved in the idea, in the ideas of Malchus. So there's three psukim, repetition. But only through psukim. It means to say what we're saying in tefillah is that we don't, the only thing that we have is Talmud Torah. That's all we have. When Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how? Limud HaTorah. We're learning. Learning the Torah, Limud Nevi'im, Limud Ksuvim, and Limud Nevi'im. It means to say that that's the whole idea of the brachas, the Malchus Chorin Shefras, is a demonstration of this fact that we can't just be misparal. But there's only one thing that we have. And the only thing that we have is Torah, and we use Torah in tefillah as a means of expressing the themes. We can't express the themes without Torah.
That's why it's from all three different sources, because it expresses the idea, hits the person in a different way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But so the Tillim really is a different thing, and then the themes, each one is different. Three different methods. That's right. And Messiah Mishal Torah, Messiah Mishal Torah, because the essence of all Yadus is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's the highest form. All the other ideas, the Tillim and the Nevi'im, are all extensions of Torah. The Gemara says the Kul Nitlu B'Sinai. What does it mean? Everything really is in Torah, but we can't find everything in Torah. That's why God had to send the Nevi'im. That's why we need Ksuvim. It's all there. Well, we can't find it. So God assisted us by giving us extensions of the ideas. The ideas all go back to the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu received, which was total perfection. So that's why you have really what the whole brachas of Malchus Achranus and Shefras, you see, whole Malchus Achranus and Shefras is really an admission of our own inability. And that's really, I would say, the most central theme. The most underlying theme in all the tefillahs is a recognition of our own inability to do anything in terms of being mispal to God. So our tefillah is a funny thing. Mm. Our tefillah really places us at a certain distance. The message, the implicit message in tefillah is it pushes us away, a certain distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But yet, it doesn't take away the ability to relate. Because the medium of relating is right there. What is that medium? Torah. The medium is Torah. So that really the truth of the matter is that the tefillah, the concept of prayer that other people have, is diametrically opposed to our concept of prayer. Because in their concept of prayer, they feel very close. See, they feel very close. But we, on the contrary, they feel they have a right to pour out their heart to God, and that they feel sure, certain that God is with them. This is nonsense, we say. Absolute nonsense. That is man without chachma. That's man without Torah. Torah teaches just the opposite. That we really, the whole concept of approaching God is almost an impossible affair. Doesn't make any sense. But there is God, with God, with through his chesed, gave us a means of relating to him. What is the means? Torah. That's why the tefillahs are permeated by the psukim in the Torah. And really, that's the idea of Aleinu. That's the idea of Aleinu. That's why Aleinu is really an introduction. What is the essence of Aleinu? The main part of Aleinu, and an important part of Aleinu, they took out, which we put back in. You see, you have to remember that the concept, the major, what the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, what Chazal say, that the most important, the main purpose of Yadus is the abolition of Avodah Zarah. The abolition of Avodah Zarah. The abolition of Avodah Zarah means the abolition of Avodah Zarah in all its manifestations. In all its manifestations. There's different levels. Now the Chaita Ego, you see the Chaita Ego was the inability of Klal Yisrael to really worship God on a very high level. They weren't capable of doing it. They reverted back to the primitive. And again, Chazal say that Chaita Ego really is present in every generation. And you look through history, you'll see that the Chaita Egel periodically rears its ugly head. I mean, you see it occasionally, here, there. You see, there was a Sefer that I saw recently called Sefer Akoma, which is a Kabbalistic Sefer that had the description of the deity, the description of God as in a human form. And many people were attracted to this concept, and became a big thing, and a lot of people accepted it as measuring certain measurements there about the God's throne and his physical representation there. You see, this is Chet Egel. It's an inability for a person, a desire for a person to feel, express his relationship to God in emotionally satisfying, in an emotionally satisfying way. Totally emotionally satisfying. That Yadus has taught us is Avodah Zarah, and it's the abomination of the Torah. That is the most despicable, most abominable idea. Because the Rambam says that is always considered abomination. That's the worst thing. Why? Because it is completely away from truth. Completely away from truth. Yadus demands, the essential thing of Yadus is the destruction of Avodah Zarah, which means that a person has to have the recognition that his innermost emotions and his innermost feelings are subject to scrutiny and cannot be trusted. Cannot be trusted. Even though it's such a powerful force, he's so convinced that what he's doing is right, the most convincing emotion has to be scrutinized and has to be taken under the guidance of Torah. And without the guidance of Torah, the person is standing in a very dangerous situation, you see. So I'm not talking against the Balei Kabbalah. I'm just mentioning the Sefer HaKoma. I'm not even saying whether the Sefer HaKoma, what the source is. I mean, it could be a Sefer that has important ideas, but I'm just saying it attracted people in a wrong way. Not necessarily the safest fault. People get attracted a lot of things in the wrong way. But and I'm not talking about the Balei HaKabbalah. There were Balei HaKabbalah that were Gedol Yisrael. I'm talking about people who are attracted many times to these areas because of their own emotions. This is a dangerous thing. This is against Yadus. Now in Tefillah, a person wants to relate to God. And in relating to God, that's where these emotions, the dangerous emotions, come into play. And a person could fall into the trap of Avodah Zarah, basically. It's a trap of Avodah Zarah. It's a very dangerous area. So that's why before the tefillah, Malchus Achronus and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah have a special meaning. Actually, Malchus is all year round. Baruch Hashem l'kenem alach halam. The Chacham didn't invent any new themes for Rosh Hashanah that don't exist all the time. That'd be crazy. Melach Baruch Hashem l'kenem alach halam is Malchus. Kol Baruch Hashem Hashem is Malchus. All year round you have it. But Rosh Hashanah is a day which was dedicated to Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Yom HaDin. So it's a day in which we emphasize. There's nothing in any yontif or any In any time that has a new philosophy, it's just the philosophy is ongoing. But it's a time, different times, the Torah saw fit, God saw fit that we should direct our emotions to certain areas. Tshuva is a mitzvah all year round, no difference. But there's a special time where a person should direct his energies to that activity. But the Rosh Hashanah, the essence is Malchus Kadosh Baruch Hu. But before, so really it expresses the idea of man recognizing God, which is Malchus. That's what it means, recognition of God. There's nothing more than that. But in recognition of God, man falls very short in terms of his knowledge of the universe, in terms of his knowledge of even God's handiwork. He falls so short that the whole idea of his being Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems absurd. So therefore, the only way he could do it is through ideas, through real concepts. You can't use crazy ideas, it's impossible. He has to use real concepts, how is it possible? Through the Chochmas HaTorah. And primarily with the introduction, with the recognition of the fact that he really can't do it. That on his own he can't do it. If he doesn't have that recognition, everything else is nonsense. That being the case, our tefillah is completely different, as I mentioned before, and it makes us distant. It makes us distant, in a sense, but real. You see, it's distant emotionally, but close intellectually, because it's real and it's true. You understand what I'm saying? It's a different phenomena. Like, you see, for instance, the Umos HaOlam, how they can get involved in a Vodazara. Vodazara is very powerful involvement. Very powerful involvement. In Yadis, you don't have such a thing. In Yadis, the involvement is not so simple. The involvement demands at all times chokhmah, intellect. And intellect doesn't allow a person to go crazy. It's a different type of a thing. It reaches him in a different way, different part of his makeup. And essentially, what is the essential thing that a person has to know in tefillah is that our tefillah is completely different. You see? Completely different. Why is it completely different? For a very simple reason. Because our God is completely different. That's the reason. And that's why we say Oleinu L'Shabeach, that's the introduction of Oleinu L'Shabeach L'Adon HaKol. L'Seis G'dul U'Yotzer B'Reishis Shlosan G'ayar Ratzos L'Seman K'mishu L'Zadon. We recognize that we're very fortunate that God saved us from the nonsense of the world, because a person can spend his entire life in nonsense and that's it. I mean, it goes by very quick. It says Shehem Mishtachvim L'Hevel L'Rik U'Mispalim El Elo Yoshia. See? They pray lehevel v'rik u'maspalim el elo yeshia. What does it mean? It means that they pray to They pray to a God that doesn't help, that doesn't give them any salvation, doesn't save them. See? And we don't say v'anachnu. You'll notice we don't say v'anachnu maspalim el keil hamoshia. We don't say that. We say anachnu kamer anachnu kamer shtachem. We pray to who? The source of all reality. Other religions are looking for salvation. They project their own emotions. You see? And that's why their prayers reflect that idea. And that's what is our. But us, we pray to the true God. What does it mean? Melach Machem Melach Gashem Shehu No Teshemayim V'Yoseid Aretz Shehu Moshe Gashemayim Mal Shechines Uzo V'Gavim Aromim. The God who is the source of the universe, the intellectual, everything that we have in the way of Chochmah, he is the source of this Chochmah. We recognize him. He speaks to us through a few mediums. Shemayim Misaprim Kvod Kehla Masi Yadav Magid Arakiyah. God speaks to us through his Chochmah. That's the way he reaches us. It's a different kind of a message. See, it's a distant, certain distance, emotional distance, but it's real and true. It's very close in terms of how true it is. We measure closeness in terms of truth and reality, not in terms of emotions, you see. So the tefillah, before you start the tefillah, you have to have that contrast. Shemesh tachvim lover, mespallim alashim, anachim shemesh tachvim lover, mespallim alashim, Shehuna Tashmaim Yisrael. What kind of Shmuz the government? Who will Kenu Ain Oud? Emes Malkenu Efes Zulaso. Kakosu Shasecha. Yedai Mishas Vavara. Kiddushemu. Mashemayim Imal. Vavaras Mitochas Ain Oud. What is Ain Oud? It's the same Ator Es Ladas. Kiddushemu Lakim. Ain Oud Novado. What does Ain Oud Movado mean? How is it possible to say Ain Oud Movado? How do you know? Somebody one time is. One time started a whole commotion in the Beis Medrash once in a year. Maybe there is somebody else, maybe this. Whole different type of philosophical. Suddenly they became whole philosophical questions. What does it mean, Ain Oud? What does it mean there's nobody else? You get, a person can know what exists. What doesn't exist is very difficult to establish. What does it mean? Hashem will akin Ain Oud. The Oud is what the Oud of Avodah Zorah posit. That's what it means. The Oud means the emotional projections. That's what the Oud is. Ato Horeis Ladas Kid Hashem Hu Alekin. You were shown that God is the one who rules the universe. God meaning the being that we relate to in the way that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Not such a simple manner. Through Chochmah, we relate to him through Limud. We approach him with the system of the Masorah. You see, we know that that is God. That is God. Ain Oud means that there is everything else, every other kind of positing that man does, every kind of projection that he does is nonsense. That's the Ain Oud means that there's nothing else. You see, that the other emotions are just nonsensical. That's what Ain Oud means. The abolition of Avodah Zarah, that's what it means. Ain Oud. And you see all the tefillos. That's the essence of the Alkin Akavah Chodeshim Alkinah. Lavigulum in the Oretz, Vaalilim Korosi Koresun. The whole essence of Malchus is the abolition of Avodah Zarah. The abolition of Avodah Zarah means it's not just the abolition of primitive Avodah Zarah. It means all kinds of Avodah Zarah and all its manifestations. And the whole world is basically steeped in Avodah Zarah. Steeped in Avodah Zarah. I mean, I'm talking about today. I'm talking about 1,000 years ago. Today, modern people, the most absurd notions. You could have a person who is an intelligent scientist, and his ideas of God are so childish and absurd. I mean, it's a Avodah Zarah. There's only one way that a person can have true ideas of God. That's only through the system of Yadus. And the more a person studies Yadus, and the more a person understands it, the more he realizes the truth of that premise. And in tefillah especially, if you take a look at how the tefillahs are formulated, you see this concept pervades the entire tefillah. There isn't a place, a corner where it's not found. And it's mainly found in what we don't say. What we don't say. The amazing thing of Rosh Hashanah is that there are so many tefillahs. And if you look into the tefillahs, we really say very little. Very little about God. Very little. I mean, God insofar as his essence is concerned, almost nothing. I mean, the only thing we say is what we see as an offshoot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say adjectives. I mean, his works, his actions, his deeds, the Chochmah that he taught us, his Torah, the Mesorah, that's the tefillahs. All these ideas pervade the entire tefillah. The tefillah is permeated with these ideas. And really, if a person understands the tefillah in a philosophical way, it's like a book of philosophy with all the ideas, all the chokhmas. A Torah is there, but it's applied. It's applied in a way that we can partake of it. Not just in abstract, but insofar as our soul is concerned, as far as our essence is concerned, as far as our nature is concerned, emotionally as well as intellectually. Emotion, a person is an emotional being. A person, God doesn't expect us to be a malach, but he expects that our emotions should not dominate our nature and should be always under the guidance of the chokhmah. Which is basically Chachmas Satara. That's the Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. That's the Ol. The Ol is insofar as the emotions are concerned. You see. So That's why Aleinu L'Shavuach is the introduction. The introduction. Because the introduction is a differentiation between a person's tefillah, which is to'eva, which means his crazy emotions, and that's all the tefillahs of the rest of the world. Why? Because their idea of God is false, and their idea of tefillah is false, and before we start to be mispowel, we have to be careful that we enunciate this proposition, which is that all the approaches that man has made to God are completely false. There's only one approach. That's the approach of Yahadus. The approach of Yahadus. Then you start with the theme. We very set forth very carefully in short words. I mean, you'll notice if you study the Tfilas, Liros, Meheris, Varis, Ezechos, simple, very simple, plain. The major theme of Malchus. Because we're afraid to say too much, you see. And then immediately you start with the Psukim.
Mm-hmm.
And then a short tefillah at the end. Maloch hakol olam kulo bechlodecho, v'nosei hakol oretz bikorecho, v'alfa badar ga'on uzecho. We're distant. We recognize in every word of tefillah, I would say, that there is an implicit fear and trembling insofar as approaching what we're saying. It's implicit in every tefillah. It's put together so carefully and short, very terse. People think there's a lot of davening. It's very short if you really look at it. You look at the Zichronos, at the Zohar, a few ideas. I mean, if you think a person go Zichronos, go on for the say and talk, very simple, straight, plain language. As a matter of fact, the Ibn Ezra was against the Piyutim because he felt that the Piyutim were a deviation from the plainness of the language in tefillah that always existed before the Paitonim came along. So that's why the Ibn Ezra struck all the Piyutim out of his Masa. He didn't help from them. But the truth of the matter is that it's a big argument, and we didn't accept the Ibn Ezra's approach. And the truth of the matter is that you don't strike anything out so quickly. I mean, I'm not saying the Ibn Ezra didn't have a right to do it. He was a Chacham Yisrael, and he had a right to do it because he was on a level where he could decide what to do. He was a tremendous Chacham. But we have to follow our Bali Masara. Bali Masara didn't like that idea. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, when you study Rabbi Elazar Kalir, you see the beautiful ideas that he has. I mean, that's one thing which no one disagrees with, that it embellishes the tefillah, and everything that he put in there, the ideas of tefillah, they're beautiful ideas about tefillah, about concepts. You should study them. You should at least spend, even if you don't do the whole thing, but go through part of it, at least, first few lines, whatever. But if you don't do that, you're really missing the whole concept of tefillah. So really, in the idea is that's the Aleinu L'Shavuach. The Aleinu L'Shavuach is the introduction. Because without that premise, without the moment, if you confuse, that's why I said to begin with, I mentioned to you, if you confuse tefillah with prayer, you see, the whole thing is worthless. That's gam tefillah satoeva. That's meser oznav mishmoa Torah. You see. It's nothing. The whole Yom HaDin, which rests upon tefillah, which the essence of Gdusha Yom is expressed through tefillah, is worthless unless you really understand what you're doing. The limud is, you can't do without limud. It's impossible. If you take what I want to just show you, basically, just a little bit of the structure of the tefillah. See, there's one thing, as I mentioned, one big theme is how can we be mispowel? That's an important thing, because if a person forgets that, there's a problem there, then he's finished. And without the introduction, he's finished. So that's a large part of tefillah is taken up with that. And then the second theme that you have in tefillah really is the idea borrowed from Kedusha. See, the Paitonim couldn't just put in these Paitonim anyway. There's no place. I mean, tefillah is a very structured formula. It means they spend days and weeks and months formulating every word in the tefillah. So it's not just the Paiton can't come by in the 8th century or 9th century or 10th century and just start putting in tefillahs. He has to be very careful where he puts it in. See? So what he does, the Paiton basically does, is he expands on a theme. He doesn't add anything. He expands on a theme. That's the way he works. So the Misod Chachamim Unavonim is the concept, the matir for tefillah, that we can't... that's his matir. That's his matir for introducing all the piyut. Misochom and avonim. Because otherwise, he can't say anything. See? So he has a misoch. And then the themes that he has is extensions. For instance, we have a theme of kedusha. What is kedusha? What is the theme of kedusha? What's the basic idea of kedusha? The basic idea of kedusha is we should praise God just like the malachim in heaven praise God. That's a theme we have in the first bracha in Kriya Shema, Yotzar Amaros, right? Yotzar Varachosh, in the first Hamayel Arts. So you have the theme of the malachim, Kadosh Kadosh. Then you have in Shemon Esrei, Kedusha. What does it mean? What is the concept behind it? That's why we stand with our feet together during Shemon Esrei. Why? The concept behind it is that we recognize that only a malach can really praise God. We aren't able. But again, the Torah enjoined us to praise God, and we have to relate our emotions to God. But if we relate our emotions to God just directly, it's the way it's avodah zarah. So the only way we can do it is by recognition of the fact that we express the idea that we should be praising God as the malachim are praising God. See, that's the concept. Concept is, they know how, we want to say the same thing they're saying. So you have statements, kadosh, 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 v'kara zel zev yomar. The malachim said, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Malachim said, baruch kvar Hashem emkamo. So we use their words. We use their words to praise God. Our words aren't any good, but their words are good. We say what we're saying is, and what we're saying is that we recognize that we are not pure intelligences, but the pure intelligences can praise God. So what we're saying is that they have the ability to praise God, you see, and our praise should be there. What in our on our level, you see, on our level. What we're saying is we recognize that our full intention, if we actually say come up with a praise, it's not going to be good. But we can come up, we could say that we should join their praise. That concept, which means say that there is a concept of praise of God, but the concept is via the malach. The malach is like a medium. See? Via, I don't mean a medium in terms of praying to a malach. That's a vada. In a medium insofar as what they express, we, in other words, are saying that our expression should be we're joining in the praise of the malachim. Their expression is what we can't say kadosh kadosh. We don't understand what it means kadosh. We have a vague idea. We have a notion which is incomplete. But if we express the incomplete notion, you see, we're caught. Because if we express the incomplete notion, then you're saying something that's false. If you don't express anything, then there's no relate. Then you aren't relating to God. So what can you do? You express the motion, the statement, and the kadosh kadosh, which is vague, we say, we recognize that it's vague. Only the malach knows the real understanding of kadosh kadosh. Our reference is to what he's saying. You see. But then the vague idea that we have a right to say. We have a right to say that vague idea, provided we recognize it as deficient. And we only have a right to say it because insofar as it does partake of some truth, because man can't perceive truth to a degree, so insofar as it does partake of truth, we have a right to say it. But you can't say it unless you recognize the deficiency. Who really, and whose words are we using? We're using the words of the malach. You see? We're using the words of the malach. So that's a big theme in tefillah, the same type of idea. See, the same type of, as I'm telling you, it's implicit in every tefillah, that idea, the distance. Our distance is implicit in every tefillah. It's an interesting thing. So since you have Kedusha, so there is such a theme already. So in walks the Piyut, and he expands on it. You see? That's why he says over here, like Adirei Ayuma in Shachris. See, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Lolan Voed. So what is it? Adirei Ayuma Yadir Vakol. Okay? And who is the Adirei Ayuma? Alright? So you take a look at, you see, the Mate Levi is very important. The Rav one time mentioned it's the best interpretation of the tefillah because he explains in plain Hebrew what it is. Adire ha adirim shebi Yisrael anik ramayuma yadiru yechasku liyishel v'kadosh baruch. Okay. Next is bruei varak. Bruei varak means that those who are created out of fire, Yevarach HaBakal. What it means, the one who created a fire, that constructed out of fire, it's a reference to a Malach. It's a reference to a Malach, you see? Then Gibore Gova, who's Gibore Gova? Is the Jews. It's Klal Yisrael. So that's an extension of Kedusha. This whole period over here. You don't really, what do you say? You say Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem, they always say Hashem. But the main thing is the few words that you say in praise are only two words, Hashem Malach. Adira Yuma Brevark. The whole tefillah is really an extension of the concept of what? Of Kedusha. Which means that we join with the Malachim. And joining a Malachim means a recognition of the fact that our tefillah is deficient. You see? That's the matir again for tefillah. That's the whole piyut, straight through. Then the Lekei L'Orech Din, really, we think, doesn't belong in there. Because how do you get Lekei L'Orech Din here? What is L'Vech Mavos V'Gen Din? Everybody gets very emotional. Gala Mukas Badin. But the question is, how do you get it into the tefillah? You see? So the answer is, because it slipped in through the fact that you introduce the Kedusha, and you say, U'vechein L'cho, it's attached to the piyut. In other words, that the Dore Mala, you see what it says, Dore Mala and Dore Mata, it means that Dore Mala and Dore Mata means Malachim and us, Hakol Yachtiru. We have to give you the Keser. We have to give you the crown, so to speak. We give God the crown. Who is God? Lekei L'Orech Din. So Lekei L'Orech Din is really the one who is the true judge. See? L'Orech Din, because it's Yom HaDin. And Levochim, then you just, it's just all an extension of that one word. You see, the Python snuck in a lot on the one word. That's Kesi Yitnu L'cha Adashem L'kena Malacha Amon Imala is the introduction to Kedusha. That's the Rambam, is the Nusach Svar, the Rambam's introduction. But that's what it is. It's an introduction no matter which way you learn the Nusach you use. That's the Kesa. The Kesa is really an introduction. So it's, again, it's an extension of the Kedusha. Extension of the Kedusha. Then you have actually that's basically, if you take a look, for instance, even in Asana Toka, and the interesting thing is that the tefillahs that are the tefillahs, like I said, are really express more than anything else our distance and our inability, you see, and our impotence in terms of expression to of tefillah and praise to God. That's really yes, and yet there's a lot of tefillah there because we have to be mispalel, but only under these conditions. Now if you take a look, for instance, the funny thing is that the most emotional tefillah of the day probably is in the Asana Tokef. I assume probably in the Asana Tokef. And the Asana Tokef was a much later development. And the how was it introduced? It was also introduced as an extension of kedusha. Where do you see in the Asana Tokef an extension of kedusha? It's true. It has a lot of emotion to it. A lot of emotion. The purpose of tefillah is, of course, to draw a person's emotion, but in the proper way. In the proper way. Not just to draw an emotion, but in a certain way that the emotion should be drawn. A certain frame. It's a different frame. Frame that it's almost like him. But where do you see, how did he get it in there in the Asana Tokef? Where does he have it in there? Where's that? He has it where? He says, because it says, V'chein l'chassal l'kedusha v'chein l'melech v'nasana tokef kedusha sayom k'yunor v'ayom. And then you go through and what do you say? That's Yom HaDin for man. And then he brings in Umalachim Yechafezun, Yom HaDin. So it's an equation between the Malachim and us. Again, that's an extension of Kedusha. The Malachim and Klal Yisrael, the equation there. See, it's an extension of Kedusha. That's how I brought it in. You see, when you really study, you see the Python worked hard in order to be able to put things in here. You see, what he did very carefully. See. Okay. So that's really the most essential idea in tefillah. And I hope that you should take all the piyut is all over after Kedusha is all over except for one piyut. And that is the piyut of the pir of the v'chol maneh. That's the only one. And the Rav mentioned the name of Chaim. That really went back to Chazal. Chaim held that v'chol maneh. We don't know who was misakin v'chol maneh. But v'chol maneh is the only pir after kedusha. Because before kedusha, you can introduce it as an extension of kedusha. But v'chol maneh is more. It's more difficult to introduce a v'chol maneh than to introduce a nesan togef, because in kedusha you could extend. You have the idea of kedusha. For v'chol maneh is really extending the concept of hamelach hakadosh. That's a higher. It's a more difficult thing to do. And Reb Chaim said that this v'chol maneh was introduced by Chazal. Chazal were able to introduce v'chol maneh. We have different levels. Because it says, "Ha'ov etzakein of a mishpat, ha'melach ha'mishpat." You're supposed to say it together. Ha'melach ha'mishpat, ochis biad minas mishpat. One. So Baruch Hashem, ha'melach ha'mishpat. It's an introduction to the term melach ha'mishpat. You see, and then it goes through many philosophical points. Ha'hogui be'ekya asher ekya, avadai shmo kenti laso. All basic ideas. And so far as God is concerned, many of them philosophical, important philosophical abstract principles that we can't fully comprehend even. You see. But that's the beauty of our tefillah. That's the beauty of our tefillah. Okay. What I'd like to say is just one point. The point is that I think this concept is really expressed not just in the tefillah, but even in the mitzvah sayon. See, there's machlokas rishonim as to the Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros, as I mentioned before, where the Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros is really supposed to be in every tefillah. That's where the Baal HaMoor said. Baal HaMoor said it's all wrong what we do today. He said, and he brings proofs from Chazal, various places, that that first of all, he says they never had the tekiyas before the Shemoneh Esrei altogether. Chazal never had that. And then he says that they said Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros in every tefillah. And they blew shofar, of course, once. Question was whether they do it in Shachris or in Musaf, and they decided in favor of Musaf based on the Mishnah. But the Ramban says that this Baal HaMoor, while it may be very ingenious, he says, the fact remains that he's going against all the whole Masorah that we have. See? Very nice, but he's going against the whole Masorah. And the Masorah is that we only have Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros once. Only once. So the question, of course, is the Baal HaMoor's point is well taken, because the Baal HaMoor's point is, where do you find that you only have it once? It should be. I mean, you find a tefillah like that. I mean, how many times you say the central bracha on Shabbos or on Yom Tov? It's in every tefillah. What kind of a thing is this? You have one time Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros. Well, that's the Baal HaMoor's question. So Baal HaMoor decided it's in every tefillah. Now the Baalei Tosfos have an answer for it, a very simple answer, because the Baalei Tosfos hold that the reason why you have Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros is because Shofar is incomplete without Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros. So it's Halacha and Shofar. The problem with the Baalei Tosfos is something else. The problem is, how do you make the bracha of the Shema called Shofar before when you're not going to do the Shofar till later? Okay, that's a problem. But the Ramban held differently. The Ramban held that really the shofar doesn't need tefillas, according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, shofar is a mitzvah nats musa. It's the sounds of the shofar. That's it. It doesn't need anything. It doesn't need any accompaniment. But the Ramban held what does need accompaniment? The tefillah. So that's why the Ramban said that originally you would have blown shofar in the tefillah, but they wanted to emphasize a different facet of shofar. It's for the sutton. Elarvus a sutton. So therefore they took it out and they put it beforehand. So people should recognize that there's something else in shofar. That the kol shofar has a message of Ur Yesheni Mishanaschan. So therefore they moved it before. Okay, then people see that something different. They see that they understand it. And now the mitzvah shofar is complete. Now the problem is, you have what? You have Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros. And according to Ramban, Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros requires what? Requires Tekiyah Shofar. Why does it require Tekiyah Shofar? Because he quotes a Chazal. What does the Chazal say? That God says, Imru lefonai Malchios, shetam lichuni aleichem, and Zichronos, Kidei sheyale zichronechem lefonai. That's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Kidei sheyale zichronechem lefonai. You see? Imru lefonai barashem malchus on shiva malchus lefonai right sheyovel lefonai zichronechem letova ulbameh b'shofa. It's a funny kind of chazal, you know. And what exactly does it mean? Ulbameh b'shofa. But at any rate, according to the Ramban, what it means is like this: that once a day, only one time, according to the Ramban, in the day, are you chayiv to say Malchus Achronus and Shofar? According to the Ramban, is a separate tefillah. It's a separate tefillah. You see, it's like Rashi says. Rashi says on a yontif, if a person doesn't say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom Kippurim, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Yom V'Azman, and whatever it is, he wasn't mekayim the asay midarais of Mikra Kodesh. The halach of Mikra Kodesh was mekayim. But why does he have to say a bracha? Why can't he just say Hayom Mikra Kodesh? The answer is, the statement must be a halachic statement. It can't just be a statement. It doesn't have any meaning. It has to be in a certain framework. It requires a framework. According to the Ramban, what happens is like this, that you must say Malchus Achronus Shofros. But you can't just say it. You can't just say it. Malchus Achronus Shofros. We have a way of expressing things. A person has no right to just stand up and say things. Say Malchus Kodesh Baruch Hu. Who is he to say Malchus Kodesh Baruch Hu? The only way you could do it is through Takanas Chachamim, through Tefillah, through the whole Masorah. He can't just get up there and do it. So he needs the framework of a Shemon Esrei. You see, he needs the framework of a Shemon Esrei. So he has to say Malchi Yisachronos and Shofros. So where is he going to do it? So he does it in one of the Shemon Esrei. In one of them. He only has to do it once. According to Ramban, it's a one time in his day, the one time Yechayev. And why do you have to have the Shofar according to Ramban? The Shofar you need, not because of the Shofar, because Shofar you yates already the Shofar, according to Ramban. Not according to everybody, but according to what he understands it, he yates a Shofar already. But what do you need Shofar again over here? Because he says, the Chazal, Ubameh, you see, Zichronos, Kidei Sheyavo Zichronecha Mephonai, right? Ubameh b'shofar. So it comes according to Ramban, the blowing of the shofar after the Malchus, after the Zichronos, after the shofar is a different thing altogether. What is halach in? It's halach in the kiyum of Zikaron. See, it's halach in the kiyum of Zikaron. According to the other Rishonim, and according to the Balamor, really, the Tkiyas shofar is a different thing, because the Balamor held that they never made a bracha, the Shmor Kol Shofar. Chazal never had that bracha, according to the Balamor. When did they blow shofar? Only in Shmon Esrei. They never had the Tkiyas before. So the whole thing is completely crazy. So they never had this before. This was a new minig, and originally Chazal never had that. They only blew in the Shemon Esrei. Says, what are the brachas for tkiyah for shofar? The Balamor says, Malchus Achronos and Shofros. You see, so according to the Balamor, you have to understand that the Malchus Achronos and Shofros really is saying every tefillah. So why don't you blow in every tefillah? That's Ramban's kasha. So what's the answer? The answer is that the Malchus and Zichronos and Shofros is the Kedushas Hayom. But the mitzvah saseh of Shofar is not just a sound, you see. But the sound must be related. It must express, the sound expresses an idea. It expresses the idea of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the sound represents. It's really like the sound, like when the Mamlech, the Melech, so they blow the Shofar. See? So it's an expression of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rabbanan came along and they said that the sound shouldn't have an implicit, shouldn't be associated with an implicit meaning, you see. But on the contrary, when you verbalize the Malchus, that's when you should blow. So the sound should be related. The sound is like an endorsement of the Malchus, an endorsement of the Zichronos, an endorsement of the Shofaris. It's all Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See? So the sound is related to a message according to the Balamor. But you only do it once. You only do it in one tefillah. Otherwise, you just have the tefillahs themselves according to Ramban. According to Ramban, Malchus Achronos Shofros is just once a day. But what I want to say is like this: regardless of what you say, whether or not, you see, everybody holds that the Kol Shofar is more than just a mechanical call. Everybody agrees with that. From the Rambam who says Remez Yeshbo, through the Balamor, through the Ramban, all the sheet this whole, at the kol shofar, you see, that's why the Baal Mor says it has to be really, according to the Baal Mor, by the way, you don't have to have a birchas mitzvah, because you have to say Asher Kedushanu. And mitzvah must be related to a shevach l'kadosh baruch hu. And over here, there's an inherent relationship, because the nature of tekiah is, it's a tekiah which is a tekiah on something. It's not just the sound. It's a tekiah which reflects malchus l'kadosh baruch hu. But if you take a look at the Chazal, I just want to end with this one concept, which I think ties into what we said before. That the Chazal say, Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Imru lefanei b'Rosh Hashanah malchi esachronos v'shefros. So God gives us the formula. Malchi es kadesh yatam lichuni aleichem, right? Zichronos, kadesh yavo lefanei zichronechem. It means our remembrance should be before God, which means that we act in accordance with the proper way for a man to act, and therefore because of that, so that's what it means that God remembers us, okay? And then what does it say? So therefore our zikaron will be for a benefit. And what is the last thing? Ubameh b'shofar. What does it mean, ubameh b'shofar? What does ubameh b'shofar really mean? So what I want to say is like this. In line with what we were saying, see, it makes a lot of sense. Because what is the shofar really? Shofar really is a sound. And it's a sound that conveys an implicit message. See, the kol shofar. Now the kol shofar, it's interesting. The kol shofar has a din of dibor. Has a din of dibor. Why? Because you see the halacha is not simply l'shmoa kol shofar. The mitzvah is the kiyum that takes place through hearing. But you see, you require a ma'isa tkiyah. Because otherwise you wouldn't have to have the shots have in mind to be motzi you. Now how is it possible for him to be motzi you? And ma'isa mitzvah that you have to do, the shots can't be motzi you with tilos lulav, because you have to do it. See? But over here, the sound of the shofar, the sound of the shofar is really has a loch of dibor. In dibor, you can be motzi. See? So what does the memra say? The memra says like this. That the truth of the matter is that what is it? Ubameh b'shofar means like this. It means the shofar is a maisa ha-mitzvah, which is halachic dibor. But really it doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anything. So it's really hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's malchias. It's hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through a maisa dibor, you say, an act which halachically is defined as dibor, and yet there's no verbalization. It's simply a symbolic, has its only verbalization because in a symbolic way, you see. But it's a maisa mitzvah. See, it's a maisa mitzvah. That's what it means. Shatam lichuni aleichem, and zichronos kedei sheyavo lefonai zichronechem latova ubameh b'shofar. What does the shofar really mean? The shofar represents man's recognition of his own impotence insofar as hamlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way he could do it is through a ma'isa mitzvah, which was formulated, a ma'isa which is formulated halachically endowed as a mitzvah with the quality of a mitzvah, and a sound which does not say anything basically. Doesn't verbalize. It's just a sound which has a reference. Amlochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Bameh B'Shofar. That's the means of Kedei She'yala Zechonech L'Fonai. Okay, I want to wish everybody a Ksiv Achsima Tova, a Yanta from which we should realize, so far as we can, our ability to be mispalled properly and have the proper ideas on Yom HaDin, which is the most important thing, and we should have in mind in our tefillos. I mean, the importance, it's very important to have in mind the Klal Yisrael, not just ourselves, but Klal Yisrael and the in abstract Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should all have a Ksivach Simcha Tova. This way you know what it's like. I just want to mention that last time when we spoke about the Aleinu L'Shabeach, so we mentioned that it contains the key, the main idea of tefillah. We were speaking about Aleinu L'Shabeach from a philosophical standpoint. But from a halachic standpoint, the Aleinu L'Shabeach, we spoke about it on another tape, I believe. And the Aleinu L'Shabeach, what it's doing there, it's a hakdama of shevach, because you always mock them with shevach. You always start off with, for instance, by tefillah, you start off with the Shalosh Rishonos is Birkas Shevach, so in tefillah. So over here as well, it's the Birkas Shevach for the Malchus, Achronos, and Shofros. That's really the function of the Aleinu L'Shabeach. I also would like to give credit to Rabbi Bolt for helping me work out that pshat in the Aleinu L'Shabeach. I'd like to be Amar Dover B'Shem Amra. He's very responsible for working out that pshat. Okay. One of the things I'd like to add also to one of the things that we said, which was that the whole, and this is a basic idea in Yahadus, the yesod of tefillah in Yahadus, the yesod, the very foundation of tefillah in Yahadus, is to avoid the primitivism of the tefillahs of the Ovdei Kochav, the primitivism in man that is responsible for the tefillahs of the Ovdei Kochav, in contradistinction to the tefillahs of Yisrael, which is based completely on the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by the Tzelem HaLakim in terms of Seichel, all right, and how one should relate to it. And the thing we mentioned was that's why we mentioned in the all the psukim in the Malchus of Ranas and Shofros. The psukim, because the mentioning of the psukim or the ten psukim is because we realize that we don't know how to be Mamlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can only do it through the means of Torah. I mentioned that last time. What I'd like to add also is the Gemara says as well, the Gemara on in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says with regard to the very first brachas, the Flamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says in the same vein that the first three brachas, the Gemara from Megillah, Minayin Shomrim Avos Shenemar Havel Hashem Bnei Elim, Minayin Shomrim Gvuros Shenemar Havel Hashem Kavos, Minayin Shomrim Kedushas Shenemar Havel Hashem Kavod Shemo. What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying is without the psukim we couldn't say avos. That's the whole idea. Even the avos, even the shevach lamakom, the praise to God, minayin shema. What right do we have to say avos? Shenema, the pasuk says, havel Hashem b'nei elim. Not for the pasuk, we can't say it. The same thing with gvuras, and the same thing with kedusha. So that theme is always there in tefillah. And the purpose of the theme is to avoid the primitive idea of tefillah. Constant awareness. A constant avoidance of a person getting caught up in the primitive idea of tefillah, and always being in line with the rational idea of tefillah, which Yahadus set forth. It's a totally different concept. There's a chazal that is, I think, expressed it perhaps more than anything else with regard to tefillahs and daf tazayin amud beis. Gemara says, in Rosh Hashanah, Gemara says, "Amar Yitzchak Gimel Dvarim Askirin Avonosa Shalom." Three things cause a person's sins to be remembered before God, and that's three things. It says, "Elohim." These are three things. Kirnatui means the man walks under a wall that's about to collapse. So a person walks under the wall that's about to collapse. So this causes God to remember his averis, so to speak. So Rashi says, "Kir nati va'over tachtov maskir avonosov," because it causes God to remember his sins. She'omer, "Klum ro'i zel le'osas l'neis," is this person fitting that a miracle should happen to him, that the wall shouldn't fall down on him? So mitoch kach u'nivdak, because of that, God looks into his into what his level is. You see. Then you have the second thing is iyun tefillah. What's Iyun Tefillah? Iyun Tefillah causes God to remember a person's sins. What is Iyun Tefillah? So Rashi says, "So mechal tefillah so." He relies on his tefillah. U boteach, let me see, ubotuach, shetein ishmas. And he's certain that God is going to listen to his prayer, to his tefillah. U mesameitz lachavein libo. and he strengthens himself to be machaven, to have kavana in his tefillah. So this causes his sins to be remembered. It's an unbelievable chazal. And Tosfos learns the same pshat. Tosfos says, because through this they start looking into his actions. Loma, boteachu b'schuyosav. This man's very sure of his schusim. You see, v'nira mayim. Let's take a look and see what kind of schusim he has. You see, so the Gemara says, a little bit before. Kloma ma'ayin bo. What does it mean? Ma'ayin bo. Omer b'libo. The person says in his heart, she'ye'osu bakashaso, that his request is going to be fulfilled. Why? Lefi she'espalo b'kavana, because he davened with kavana. See? U'bol de ko'ev lev, and this leads, the Gemara says, such a feeling, such an idea leads to depression. She'en bakashaso nasis. That his requests that he has God are not done. So, and Tais says before also, when he describes it, I'm just giving this, a lot of admire, but mis'ameitz l'chavein libo. Mis'ameitz l'chavein, like Rashi says. He strengthens himself. He really is machaven in his tefillah, very strongly. And because of this, his averis are niskaret. God remembers his averis, and it's one of the three things that is maskev and osan. So you see in Yadis, on the contrary, that a person that davens with kavana, a person that's misametz lachavin libo, not only is it nothing, but it causes his sins to be remembered. An interesting thing, misametz lachavin libo, it's tremendous kavana. So, you see that according to Yadis, tefillah is not a simple thing. On the contrary, it could lead to a person, it could lead to avera. It's an avera. Mesamets l'chavon libo. Why? Because that's mesamets l'chavon libo is an expression, is it when a person caters to the primitive notion of tefillah. You see, and the whole of tefillah is exactly the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. Straight through. That is the yesod of tefillah, the very yesod. It's interesting, while we're on this chazal already, it says the three things. What are the three things? Three things is kir natei, person walks under a wall that's about to collapse. And the second one is iyan tefillah. And the third one is mos adin al chavero. Mos adin al chavero means that he says, like Sora said, yishpot Hashem b'ni b'necha. God should judge between me and you. And the Gemara says, because of that, Rashi says, Omrim, so they say, Kum Royhu Shianish Chaver al Yado? Is this person fit that his chaver should be punished because of him? And Taisva says, he says, Kol Hanish Loshadvarim Me'inyan Echon. He says, Taisva says, all these three things are really one concept, Taisva says. Why Kir Nati Shabateach Beschuso? Kir Nati, is he sure that he's nothing's going to happen to him? He walks under the wall, nothing's going to happen to me. Already works on it. Most of the chaver shall bateach b'schuso sheyonish chaver al yado. He feels certain that his friend is going to be punished because of him. So, what does it mean? It means he feels.